Welcome to another episode of TSR Rewind. And hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of TSR Rewind. This is for the month of May 2015. And first of all, let me tell you about the virtues of money that essentially materializes out of thin air. You may remember back in March, we had some trouble with our net worth. There was some money that seemingly got lost in an account somewhere. So we did not end up including that in our net worth. However, we ended up finding that money this month, and that kicked our net worth up fairly significantly. In April, we ended at $554,000 in net worth, and we ended in, for the month of May up at $621,000 because of that found money, which is now in safekeeping and within our control. And so I started off the month of May by asking a question. This is a scenario question. Would you rather have respect or pay? And to ask this question, I asked you to put yourself inside a scenario. You're around a conference table with a bunch of your coworkers and of course, the CEO or the manager of the company that you work for. There's somebody in that room, not you, that makes, let's say, I don't know, $20,000 more than everybody else in that room. And there's something happening with the company that's literally going to make and break this particular organization. So at the end of the meeting, the CEO or manager happens to pull you aside and say, you know, I respect your opinion so much. You've heard the ideas. You know what's at stake. What do we do? So the question here is, the manager obviously respects you more than that other person who makes $20,000 more, but that person is also pulling in a lot more money than you are, which could be used for saving, could be used for early retirement. So the question is, would you rather have that additional money, or would you rather have the additional respect? And judging from the comments, there's a good mix between money and respect. And I can see and understand both. I mean, on one hand, I want the extra $20,000 so I can save it and retire that much earlier. But then again, respect, if I'm respected that much more, my salary will probably reflect that in short order. It might not, though. So it's a double-edged sword, and it really takes an interesting perspective to figure out what the answer is for you. And I also reported on a bit of sad news. The Target Red Card no longer supports credit card loads at the register, or anywhere for that matter. So this was originally one of the best ways to manufacture spend. Just fill up your Target Red Card with a credit card and then either spend that money at Target or use it to pay off some of your larger debts, or even transfer it right back into your bank account. Many Americans, including myself, was using this red card fairly heavily. There was a max of $5,000 a month, which adds up to $60,000 in a year, but you can also load it with some rewards debit cards as well for another $1,000 a month, which brings the total manufactured spending potential of this card up to $72,000 a month, or $72,000 a year, rather. Unfortunately, this card no longer supports credit card loads. There are some alternatives that I talked about in the article and linked to a couple other resources that might help you out. And thanks to Even Steven Money and his Financial Independence Day Challenge, my wife and I sat down and took a really hard look at what our Independence Day looks like from a time perspective. Not money, just purely time. When do we expect to finally call it quits and tell the boss F you? Well, we originally assumed somewhere in 2020 that would give us another four or five years to work, and we will accumulate probably more than enough money to retire. However, the more we looked at this, the more we're realizing that we probably don't even have to work that long. So our retirement month and year, our financial independence day, turned out to be something like September of 2018. So at least by the end, towards the end at least, of 2018, we will finally be done. And let me tell you, that is a heck of a good feeling, and we probably would not have figured this out, at least this early, if it wasn't for Even Stevens' challenge. So hat tip, a nod, a wave, whatever, in Even Stevens' direction for making us go down that route, which turned out to be pretty darn productive for us. And towards the middle of May, I wrote an article about what people mean when they say life is short, so live a little. You often hear this at restaurants or if you're buying a car or something new. When you hear this from others, life is short, live a little, what does that really mean? Well, they're essentially telling you to spend more cash. Don't delay your spending. You know, buy that steak, get that expensive glass of wine. Just spend money now, because after all, you might die tomorrow. You might lose all your money tomorrow. You never know. So you might as well spend now and be happy. But quite honestly, spending does not make most people happy. Most people don't need more than $50,000 or $60,000 a year to feel a genuine sense of happiness. Spending does not equate to happiness. So when people are telling you to live a little, to spend more now, all that's really doing is delaying your retirement later. And I also make the argument in this article that, you know, I agree that life is short. So maybe we don't want to work until we're 60 years old and then experience the rest of our life, you know, outside of an office, having fun, doing what we want to do. If life is so short, why are we spending 30, 40, 50 years or more in some cases within the confines of an office? Life is short, so get out and enjoy it. Save as much as you can now so you can quit as early as possible and enjoy the rest of your life in jobless bliss. And I think one of my favorite articles to write were how stats are proving really the ridiculousness of American spending. And I actually got the idea from the Becoming Minimalist blog. He wrote a couple of stats already. My favorite ones are like the average size of the American home has nearly tripled over the past 50 years. 25% of people with two-car garages don't have enough room inside those garages for their cars, which is really what garages were designed to do, to keep your cars out of the elements. But people have so much crap in that they just use their garage essentially for storage of crap rather than the storage of their cars. Another one, 3.1% of the world's children live in America, but they also own 40% of the toys that are consumed globally. So we're starting our kids off in a consumption society, understanding that you're giving something to make you happy. You need something to hold. You need the new toy. You need this and that to make yourselves feel happy. And we're teaching our kids that from an early age. A couple of stats that I came up with. There are 24 million different consumer goods on Amazon. So, I mean, surely that buy now button is clicked so much because you can certainly find something you like in 24 million different possibilities. There's always going to be something there that you like and you want to buy, me included. $51 billion worth of fast food was charged to credit cards in 2006. Americans drive more than 13,400 miles every single year in incredibly wasteful automobiles that begin to depreciate the minute you take them off the line, especially if you buy a new car, which I was guilty of in the past. I certainly will not make that mistake again. Americans spend almost as much on their morning coffee as they do on their commute. And speaking of coffee, there are a few Starbucks-related stats that I found particularly interesting. For example, the Trenta-sized coffee is bigger than the average stomach. The Grande coffee has more than four times the amount of caffeine as Red Bull. And of course, Starbucks is worth nearly $80 billion, which means people spend a lot of money on expensive coffee. But in happier developments, my wife and I have decided to learn to camp. We love travel, and especially after retirement, our real goal is to start backpacking and camping actually outside in the elements in a tent to get to some of these places that I could take pictures at and we can truly enjoy without having to hoof it, you know, 12 miles out for a day, get there in the afternoon, see what we want to see in an hour or two, and then hoof it back. We can take a couple days to make the hike out and make the hike back. Just take our time, enjoy the experience. But to do that, we really have to learn to camp. We have to know how to camp. We really haven't done much of that, or will really any of that, especially when it comes to tent camping. So that's our that's our main goal for the very near future, to learn how to tent camp and really survive completely off the grid. And using this topic as a segue, Think Safer Tire is also expanding. Over the last couple of months, both Courtney and I have talked about writing some more travel or experience or exploring related blogs with blog posts with a lot of photography on Think Safer Tire. But really, the more we thought about it, the more ideas we had, and the more ideas we had, the less retirement these topics were actually becoming. This content really didn't belong on Think Save Retire. So what we're going to do is we're going to start a new blog. It's going to be called Think Save Explore. So this is not going to be a new domain name. This will be associated with Think Save Retire, but it'll still be separate. And this is essentially our explore blog, our travel blog. When we go somewhere new, this is going to be very photo heavy. And we're going to talk about our experiences there. We'll probably link to it from Think Save Retire in some places. But think of it as our travel blog. But it's going to be a little bit more than travel, because we don't enjoy the act of traveling so much. We enjoy the act of exploring once we get there. So I think labeling this as a travel blog really isn't doing it justice. That's very short-sighted. This is not a travel blog. This is really an experience blog, our having fun blog. And it's really built around the concept of photography, and with some areas within the blog post, of course, to write a narrative about where we are and how we are enjoying life job-free in the future. But we're certainly going to start this around mid-year. Our first true test of how this is going to work out is our trip to Glacier National Park in mid-July. All right, everybody, that is it. I made this short and sweet so you can get back to your money-making endeavors so you can retire early as well. This was Think Save Retire Rewind for the month of May. Next month is June. We plan to keep up the savings and reduce our spending a little bit, especially in our groceries area. You can see more details about that on our budget article online. Again, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your ear, and we will see you next time. Be well.
This has been a production of TSR Radio.